Welcome to this month's installment of Author Audio, brought to you by Quality Progress Magazine and ASQ, the global voice of quality. My name is Mark Edmond, and I'm the associate editor of Quality Progress. This month, I'm speaking with the authors of January's cover story, Safe and Secure. Bill Scott and Mark Krempley both work for ABS Consulting and wrote the article, which describes one federal agency that took a different approach to risk management. Thanks for taking the time today, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
First off, tell listeners a little bit more about ABS Consulting and your work with this federal agency.
Okay, this is Bill Scott. I'll go first. Just a little bit about ABS Consulting. We are a for-profit, wholly owned subsidiary of the American Bureau of Shipping, which was created by a federal charter of U.S. Congress in 1862. We've been ranked the largest risk management firm in the United States for the past 6 years by the Business Insurance Monthly magazine. And what we focus on is delivering quality program management consulting services. We also do professional engineering services and, of course, risk management, risk assessment work for our customers. We have approximately 1,300 employees around the world, and we're divided through about 35 countries.
Okay.
As far as this particular effort that Mark and I wanted to write about, it was for a federal customer who has a lot of challenges in that their department is not in the security business. And so when you start to bring up security concerns and requirements to them, you might as well be speaking a different language.
Okay.
And like every organization, private or public, every dollar spent on security is a dollar that's not being spent on what their mission may be. And so you really have to find ways to bring security as a complement to what their main mission is and what their operation, their daily operation is,
right,
rather than having it be a detractor or something that takes away from that mission.
And this is Mark Krempley. And so one of the big things that we were trying to do using the risk assessment methodology we outlined in the article is create a much clearer picture for the organization about what the actual impacts, both positive and negative, are of their different security measures, so they could actually have a very easy way of evaluating the impacts of those different security measures.
What exactly did your firm provide? What did you actually put in place or recommend?
What we started with was an assessment, a basic assessment where we came in and determined what the organization was required to do. And I like to define that as the mission of the organization. Mm-hmm. What we then do is we evaluate how that organization is performing against those requirements. And in this case, it was primarily a security assessment, but we looked at some of their overall public safety functions as well. But primarily we focused on security for this particular assessment. So in that, you take a look, okay, here are the missions of the organization. Here's how the organization is doing. And then we look at how the organization resources those missions or how it enables itself to perform its mission. And I like to think of that as a capability. You know, the capability is, am I able to perform this mission?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to establish within this particular assessment. Where I like to focus on at the end of the day is the organization properly resourced, number one, to even perform certain missions? That's because sometimes, you know, I think a lot of people understand this. You have a world of requirements and a cup full of resources to accomplish all that, and you're just not sure where to scatter those resources. And so what we try to do is focus the organization into the most important aspects of its mission and focus in on those requirements and try to establish the proper allocation of resources. So in this particular case, we do that assessment. We come in and evaluate, here are the requirements, here's how you're doing against those requirements. And then we take a look from a modeling aspect, and that's really where we come in with that heavy-hitting engineering support to offer an engineering model that measures the metrics of how the organization is performing. So it's one thing to say from a subjective point of view, hey, we're doing okay today. You know, we're maybe not maxing out our capability, but we're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something else altogether to look at it from a measured point of view and provide actual scores against each of those capabilities so that you can see we're putting this percentage of our resources into a capability and we're really not doing very good. So either we're not putting enough resources into it or we're just not utilizing those resources effectively. And that modeling application that we developed for this particular customer allowed them to measure that.
And that was one of the first themes of the article. You know, resources for everybody is limited. You're going to need to make some important choices in terms of risk and security. And here's a method, here's a way that we can help, that helps prioritize, that gives you a picture of what the risk is and how to best deploy these resources.
Yeah, I like to joke when I'm facilitating some of these risk assessment conferences, I'll stand up in front of a group full of people and I'll say, you know, if you're flush with resources right now, then you really don't need me.
Right.
You know, because you can go ahead and spend your money however you want to spend it. You have enough. I said, now how many people in the room fit that description? And, you know, never do I have anybody raise their hands.
Right.
It's much more about the prioritization. And prioritization is tough. It's tough to look at one part of your organization and say, you know what, you're less important to me than this other part.
Right.
And therefore, I'm going to resource you accordingly.
Do you want to go over in the article, you start to outline the six-step management cycle that was used. I know you can't go in depth one through six right now, but give us some highlights of that cycle and how it works together.
Absolutely. The first and possibly the most important step in the whole process, which is one Bill's been talking a lot about, which is defining the context. That is to say, what are the questions that we're really trying to answer here today? What are those decisions that have driven us to look for the most the optimal way to allocate our resources or areas where we can cut back on budgets? And understanding the level of the question you need to answer becomes important as you move forward throughout the rest of the cycle in defining how you assess risks and identify them moving forward. You then look through, based on the mission that you've defined and the context you've identified, the type of potential risks that your organization faces. In the case of this federal agency, the risks ranged from things like attacks by adversaries or terrorists, to petty crime or other social disturbances, all of which could disrupt the mission impact, the mission of the organization as a whole.
Okay.
For each of those risks that we work collaboratively with the agency to identify, we developed a tool and a methodology to analyze and assess those risks. And what that simply means by analyzing the risks is understanding the likelihood of that event occurring. Is it frequent? Is it infrequent? How often do we expect it to occur? As well as what the potential impact of that risk would be if it did occur.
Right.
And the combination of those two terms help us understand the risk associated with each of those events.
Okay.
As a final step in that process, we align the different policies, procedures, and programs that the institutions have in place in order to allow them to understand how the different programs they have are actually helping them manage the risk against the different threats identified.
And I just add to, when you look at the article and you look at this figure, what really jumps out at you is that this is a circular process.
Right.
And this fits squarely into that continuous process improvement ideal that's so important for all organizations. You know, when I'm talking with different organizations, I stress to them that you should never be afraid to get better. All too often, I think I see organizations that are afraid to turn that magnifying glass on themselves and really evaluate how they're doing or how their programs are doing at reducing risk,
mm-hmm.
at improving quality within the organization itself. And that's why the risk management cycle is so vital to focus an organization at really looking at itself and determining how it can improve in a very systematic way.
Now this agency invited you in. They wanted this assistance, this consultation. But during the process, how did they react to you? How did they receive the recommendations? Was there pushback? Was there surprise? And how did they eventually incorporate your recommendations?
There was some initial pushback, as I alluded earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The organization saw us coming in and immediately assumed that our recommendations would be that this organization needs to be Fort Knox and we need to invent force fields and come up with all of these other James Bond gizmos,
yeah,
to make this organization more secure. And they saw that as taking away from operational resources that they were using to accomplish their daily mission.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until they saw that our process, in some cases, identifies areas where maybe they're doing too much for security. And maybe they are putting so much into a single capability that they're really not recognizing risk reduction at that point. That they're really just, they've reached the saturation point.
Mm-hmm.
And we help them identify that, and we quantify those results. That's the other big thing, is all too often you can bring in a consultant and they'll tell you what they think and they'll charge you a lot of money and, okay, that hasn't really helped you. It's another thing when you can sit down with the leadership of that organization and systematically measure and provide actual data, quantifiable data back to them based on those results that shows them how their organization is performing against the requirements levied against that organization.
Right.
And so, yes, there was some initial pushback, but once that organization saw the quantification of the data, and once they saw the methodology that we walked through, and in our article, please go back and look at it, because we give a high-level summary of the article, but you can trace the steps that we use and identify that methodology. We try to make everything accessible when we come in to help a customer out, because we don't want it to seem like rocket science. We want this to be something that organizations are capable of doing for themselves. And so when this particular organization could see mathematically that we had very sound results, and we had a number of them who were, very smart, very schooled individuals, come back and say, well, no, show me this and show me that, and Mark would walk them through every single calculation, and then they would say, oh, it does make sense, I understand now, and they'd be much more receptive to the information that we were trying to provide. And I will say that interaction happened more so at the division director level, and with think about a federal government organization, this would be at the, say, the GS-14 type level.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership of the organization that invited us in would have been at the senior executive level. I think there was certainly some recognition at that level that they could get better. It was at the division director or department head level where there was some concern over what our results might provide.
Sure. Step back a little bit and talk in general terms about setting up this structure. The importance of it. You mentioned continuous improvement a little bit ago. The importance of setting up a structure to address your security within an organization.
Yeah, so for this particular organization, we first established a baseline. And for them, the baseline would have existed before they were doing any real security measures at all. And what we did is we quantified their crime statistics, and working within a law enforcement organization that assists that particular government entity,
mm-hmm.
what we did is we said, okay, before you did anything, here's what your crime statistics were.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're following some of these federal guidelines, and one of them just would be the Homeland Presidential Security, the Directive 12, which has to do with access control. And once they started following these access control procedures as far as limiting access into the organization itself, into the different campuses that it managed, and as far as authenticating even employee access with background checks and so forth. What they found was within the first year of following those guidelines, that overall crime dropped almost 72% across their campuses.
Okay.
And they found serious crime dropped 99.999%. And establishing, here's your baseline, to now that you're following these requirements, look at the difference it's made from a criminal perspective. Look what a difference it's made within your organization. Now let's apply some of these same techniques to overall performance, and let's see, you know, if we can get that kind of a dramatic improvement throughout the entire organization.
Do you sense, you know, aside from this agency, you know, that you worked with, do you have a sense on what organizations out there, do they realize this? Are they overlooking this potential to protect themselves, protect their employees, protect their assets?
Bill and I have both worked quite a bit with different federal agencies and organizations throughout the government. And there are cases where when an organization is able to put together some kind of leadership group or working group that buys in to the idea of using risk as a tool to manage and measure risk and provide security, they tend to be really successful when it comes down to implementing reforms, as well as ensuring that those reforms are evaluated and tested and revisited over the course. When an organization does a one-off assessment or doesn't create the governance structure necessary to oversee these kinds of assessments is where we go back 6 months after an assessment and find out that nothing's really been done and no actionable items have been taken. And so it's a mixed bag throughout the government in terms of where people tend to be succeeding, but one of the biggest indicators of success is whether or not you establish at the forefront a structure and organization within the organization to manage the process.
Yeah, and I'll just tack on that I think like anything you do, the leadership within that organization has to have the buy-in to the process before you're going to see any change in the culture.
Sure.
The other thing that we do, and within the article we weren't able to take a whole lot of time to really discuss this, but with this particular organization, and see, this is for everybody who's listening through this interview, this is the bonus that you get for listening this long.
Online extra, yes.
We actually develop what we refer to as strategic plans that allow that organization to set goals. And these goals can be a year, 5 years, 10 years out, depending on how its resourcing cycle works. Because a lot of times in the federal government, they work on a 5-year resourcing plan. And so it's really that 5 years before you see acquisition start to catch up to what these initiatives are. And with this strategic plan, what we do is we set goals with that organization, and then, again, quantifiable results to go back and measure the performance of the organization against those goals. Here's where you want it to be. You wanted to run 100 yards. You only ran 50. How do we get to that extra 50? Why didn't we make that extra 50 yards? Let's sit down and go through the success, and then let's go through where the organization still needs to improve a little bit. And then we can adjust those goals as we're going through. Maybe they weren't far-reaching enough. Maybe they were a little bit too, you know, maybe they were a little bit too overarching, and we needed to pull back a little bit on there. But understanding that through that strategic planning process, it really helps the organization to know, here's where we're supposed to be, here's how we're doing against that goal, and here's how to measure that success. It is absolutely vital. And to be frank, you know, a lot of our government customers, they're concerned about their careers and they're concerned about how the success or the failure of a particular initiative is going to look on their resume.
Sure.
You know, it happened on their watch.
Sure.
How is it going to look overall? And to be able to lay a strategic plan on your boss's desk and to say, 5 years from now, here's where I'm going to take this organization and here's how I'm going to measure the steps in between, I mean, that's pure gold in the federal government. You know, a lot of organizations are trying to justify resources and budgets. If you can develop that type of a plan and put that much rigor into your planning process, the bean counters have a very difficult time coming in and saying, no, we need to take resources from your organization.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, look, this is what I need. I've justified everything that I'm doing. You need to go talk to the next office down the hallway to do that. And so that's a lot of what we see with our customers as well.
Well, and everything you've been highlighting here goes back to just proper assessment, planning, and measuring. If you can't measure it, you can't improve it. So another emphasis on that lesson. Thanks again for taking some time and giving us some highlights of the article. And again, you can find the feature article, Safe and Secure, in January's Quality Progress magazine, as well as the website, www.qualityprogress.com. This is Mark Edmond, and thanks for listening.